ministry, long time since the beginning of Shofar. But that's not what's important. Important is that we hear what the Lord is saying today. Father, we bless Johnny and Deleste as they minister to us in this morning. We thank you, Lord, for open hearts to receive what you are saying and what you are telling us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Goeiemôre, good morning. Ons is so oorweldig deur al julle liefde en gasvryheid. En ons is maar dadelik tuis gevoel. Baie dankie. En ek het vir Delisie gesê, wie jy? Ek wonder dan toch as ons julle guns vra. Maar moet dit nou nie vir Kreek sê nie hoor. Wanneer Fransie en Kreek enig te oud word en om af te tree, en julle wil dalk van iemand anders beroep, dink aan ons. Ons ons behoort dan die naai tyd het reg te wees dan vir ons volgende bediening, hoor. I have no teaching for you this morning. You have such good teachers in Craig and Doa and who else there is, and of course there's also Pastor Google and Pastor YouTube and Joyce Meyer, Kefra Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland, etc., etc., etc. Net recht, waar? So I am going to tell you stories. Jesus told the most wonderful stories, and I believe that God has laid it on my heart to share our life story with you. Of course, don't worry, if I do it year by year, I'll have to keep you 85 years, so just relax, okay, it won't take more than an hour. And then also, because I've got our life stories, and in 10 days' time, I'm going back to the Ukraine again, and so I've got missions on my mind as well. So you're going to have a potpourri this morning. And ek sal bietjie tussen Afrikaans en Engels ook net 'n bietjie rondspring, hoor. Ek en my vrou, ons is eerst in Pongola gewees, daar is my eerste apteek gewees, en toe trek ons Potgietersrus rust toe. And there in Potgietersrus rust, we had 3 children, a boy, a girl and a boy, and my wife was expecting the 4th one, and when we arrived there, we found out it was triplets. So we doubled overnight. So we had 6 kids within 7 years. Dit was chaos geweest. As julle nou wonder, ek is so jonk en kyk hier so lyk ek, dan sal julle verstaan, né? En in 1969, because I think God used this chaos in our lives, because we were at our wits' ends, we didn't know what to do, we had no help, strange town, new work, new environment, we were lost. And God used that to draw us nearer to him. In 1969, my wife surrendered her life to God. She had now become sect in my mind. And of course, all hell broke loose for my wife. I persecuted her. All my partners in the pharmacy were against her. She had a terrible time. I filed for divorce eventually. But before that came through, God saved me in 1970. Of course, then we were excommunicated because we both turned sick now, and we had ourselves baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we were excommunicated immediately. There was no chance in those days to carry on in the church that we were. And then we joined a Pentecostal church. And the first thing I heard there, broer, jy moet werk vir die Here. And my brothers and sisters, we committed ourselves to every program and every ministry inside the four walls of that building. But you know, always there was this vacuum in my heart. Is it all what I is with Christenskap? Just to attend the Sunday morning service, Wednesday evening Bible, Wednesday afternoon evening Bible study, Sunday school. Surely there must be something more to Christianity. And during those years, nobody ever told us that we could have loving, intimate relationship with the bridegroom of the church. And we just worked for God. Now, as far as missionaries were concerned, I had a very negative experience or thought about missionaries. Whenever a missionary came to, we were so busy in our church. Whenever a missionary came to our church, I said to the listening man, take a few extra tissues and a few extra rand, because he's going to tell us a sob story, he will cry, and he'll ask for some money at the end. And to me, missionaries were people who couldn't make it on the secular field, and now they decided to go and work for God. And I'll never forget, while we were in Port Jesus, the missionaries used to come through smuggling Bibles to Rhodesia. And then they would sleep over at our place. And then one day, my little boy was about this big, 7 or 8. He came to me and says, Papa, ek gaan nooit vir die Here werk nie. Ek sê, maar hoekom nie? Hy sê, kyk daai ou krok karre wat hulle ry. Hy sê, en dan sê hulle, broer, ek werk vir die Here. Hy sê, and that was our idea of missionaries. Because our lives revolved around the pharmacy, the church, and the children. Now, the kids were getting bigger, so I decided we have to get nearer to a university. So from Port Elizabeth, I bought a pharmacy in Franschhoek, and we moved there. With no idea of planting a church whatsoever, I went solely for the purpose of for my kids for the university. But now we rented a house just one block away from the pharmacy. Whenever I get a prescription, I see this woman has got depression or she can't sleep, and I can read the prescription. Then I would say to her, "Ach man, wil jy nie asseblief net my vrou gaan welkom eet? Ons is nie in die dorp en sy ken niemand nie." Ja, seker ek sal. And as soon as she walks out, then I phone to Lissy, I say, "Jong, daar's 'n vis op pad. Geef haar baie liefde." And well, within 3 months, there were 50 of those fish in our house. And then the Dominie made the fatal mistake, of course, of going on a sabbatical. And by the time he got back, 15 of his members were baptized. Immediately were they excommunicated. Now they turned to us. To look, you know, you're responsible. Nobody from Sorg. And that is, voila, a church was planted. But now, in those days, when we first got there, we had our little church services in the morning, but in the evenings we would travel to Logos Baptist Church in Belleville. And very good teaching there. We filled 3 combis full, and then we would travel to Belleville. And Christe Botes and Ingeborg Botes, who are our pastors there. And actually, here in 1994, it's April, I was playing action cricket in Paarl. I tried to catch a ball, I fell, and I hurt my back. But the next morning, I was virtually paralyzed. I spent a month in hospital after a massive operation, but the most horrible, horrible pain throughout the whole period. And but unbeknown to me, I truly believe that this was God's move towards my final mission that he had for me, that he had created me for. And one night in that hospital, I suddenly experienced a presence. And I knew it was God, the Holy Spirit. And I clearly heard him say, "Have you got any other idols in your life that you regard above me? But you would ask me first for me." I said, "Well, Lord, it could be the pharmacy. It could be we had a beautiful house. My wife wanted to start a guest house." He says, "Are you prepared to give them to me?" I said, "Lord, you can take them. Just take away this pain." Nothing happened. About 2-3 days later, the same presence in my room. God said, "Is there anything else that you regard above me?" I said, "Lord, it's my children, maybe." He said, "Are you prepared to give them to me?" I counted them: Tommy, Annalene, Ignatius, Usher, Walter, Marinus. I said, "Lord, then take them. Just take this pain away." Nothing happened. For a third time he came to me. He says, "Is there anything else in your life that you regard higher than me?" I said, "Lord, I've only got my wife left. Maar ek weet of ek kan sien om haar prys te gee nie." Die Here sê, "Tensy jy haar nie vir my gee nie, kan ek nie my doel met jou lewe bereik nie." By that time I thought God was going to take my whole family, because we're driving a combi, might be an accident, or he's going to take my life. I said, "Fine, Lord, have her. Just take this pain away." This was the Saturday night. Sunday morning, Christa Boerders came and prayed for me. Afterwards, Barney Swanepoel came to pray for me. The afternoon, Gerrit De Lange prayed for me, and the pain broke, and I was discharged on the Monday. I've clean forgot about that. Clean forgot about that whole incident. I only started working in December 94. And we were very busy. I was the only gift shop also in Franschhoek. We were very busy. And in walks Ingeborg, Chris's wife. I said, "Ingeborg, what do you here?" She says, "Nee, ek en Christo doen af die afgelope 4 maande sendingwerk in Oekraïne." And ek het van kom hallo sê. So I thought, well, seeing that I was an elder for so many years, I also better say something spiritual now. So I said, "Jy weet, Ingeborg, ek het al dit vir Here gesê. As hy my wil gebruik, sal ek nie omgee om Rusland te gaan nie." Nou, al wat ek vir Rusland geweet het is, ek het Heinz Gonzalez, Gonzalez boeke verslind. Al wat ek vir Rusland geweet het, ek sê, "Ek sal nie omgee om daarin te gaan nie." Sy sê, "Is jy ernstig? Kyk hoe hoendervlees word ek." En ek weet, die Here het my met 'n slabriem gevang. And God had tricked me. I cannot now turn around and say, sorry, man, ek het 'n joke gemaak, hoor. I knew it, I painted myself right into a corner. Lo and behold, 3 days later, I got a fax from CBN Christian Broadcast Network, Club 700. Excuse me. They started a Bible school
once off Bible school for 1 year to teach the young students how to follow up addresses, knock on the doors, and so on, how to do evangelism. So I had to go and do the pastoral work for the 120 students there in Ukraine, in Kiev. So I got this invitation. So I said to Lisa, you know what? They've invited us to come. And she started laughing. She said, ons by die rooi gevaar, wat gaan ons daai mense leer? Ons ken hulle nie eens, hoe gaan ons hulle ooit lief kry? Excuse toch. En ek toch nie, ek gaan dit doodsweeg. I'll just keep quiet. About a week later, I get another fax. What is your response? Ek sê, vrou, jy beter ophou lach en begin bid, want hierdie mense raak nou ernstig. Maar ons bly maar dood stil. En een rukkie later, hier kreeg ik nou maar weer een brief. Please, what is your response? Ik dacht, oké, okay, ik ga hulle kanselier. I'll come, but only for 4 months. So for a week, I heard nothing. And then reply, please, that will suit us fine, because then the students have just finished their course and they are being placed out. 4 months will do us fine. And together with it, they sent me a form to fill in. And on the form, one of the questions were, what is your ministry? Sê vir hulle, sê, wat is ons bediening? Ons preek, ons lady worship, ons maak die toilette skoon, ons sit die koppies uit, ons pak die stoel uit, ons doen alles. Wat is ons bediening? Ek skryf dit so groot op die blad. I am a very emotional man. I cry very easily. My wife has an infectious laughter. If you can use that, we'll come. For 10 dae hoor ons niks. Ek dacht, that was my trump card. Hulle is uit. Hier kreeg weer een fax. We believe we can use your ministry. Please come. Ek en de lessies toe gelaai met Bibles en concordanties en verskillende en voorbereide preke en ek moes voorberei want ek moes nou gaan praat oor die doop en huwelik en doop in die Heilige Gees en ek moes selkerk opleiding gaan doen. Ons is self voorberei want ons gaan daai risse nou leer. Not thinking of the 20-80 principle. God is going to work 80% in our lives and only 20% through us. One night, and this is where my spiritual journey actually started. One night my wife and I were fast asleep in our apartment. Now certain times of the year, when it's 12 o'clock there, it's 12 o'clock here. When it's 2:30 there in the morning, it's 2:30 in the morning here. So 2:30 in the morning, at least, we were fast asleep in our apartment, and then the phone rang. It was nog daar die nommer asseblief, telefoon. And then, you know, if it's a long distance, then it's a urgent, tring, 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 tring. It's nie die tring, tring, of die lijn nie. And dan weet je onmiddellijk dat ze hoofdlijn oproep. En die telefoonlijn, ek hoor dat ze hoofdlijn oproep. En ek kyk my horlosie en ek sien, het is 2:30 in die morgen. Wie gaat my nou lang afstand bel, moet van Suid-Afrika wees. En die tyd van die nacht moet het of dood, of ongeluk, of ernstige siekte wees. En ek spring op met die bewende hart, en tek die telefoon op. Ek hoor het my oudste seun. Ek sê vir hom, Tommy, wat is verkeerd? Sê, pa, ek wil net jou stem weer hoor. Ek is so lief vir jou, en ek mis jou verskriklik. En die lijn gaan dood. Wie op die oomblik het ek gevoel, my borskas word te klein. My hart het so geswel van trots en blijdskap. oor dit wat my seun vir my gesê het. As hy vir my gesê het, pa, ek kan nie meer langer wag nie. As jy terugkom by die huis, gaan jy sien, daar is 'n nuwe Mercedes in jou garage, of jy sal vind, ek het jou huis vir jou geverf. Ek sou bly gewees het, maar het sou nie my hart so dat solid van trots en blydskap nie. En ek besef onmiddellik, is nie wat my seun vir my gee nie, so wat my seun vir my doen nie, wat my hart so dat van trots nie. Maar is my verhouding met my kind, en net daar praat die religieus met my, sê, dis die verhouding wat jou hemelse vader van jou verlang. Is nie wat ek hier vir God gee nie, of vir God doen nie, wat sy hart sal het swel van trots, as hy afkyk op ons nie. Maar het is die verhouding wat jy het met hom, wat sy hart sal het swel van trots en blydskap. En ewe skielik, hoeveel keer het ek die tekst al gelees, Kolossense 1 vers 27, Christ in me, my only hope of glory. How often have I read that? That all of a sudden, it became a revelation to me. Christ in me, my only hope of glory. En jy weet jy, ek en Delisie is die grootste oppositie, het ons ondervind om te gaan, het ons ondervind van ons eie kinders. Now Elderson, he had a dental, he came to Franschhoek, he opened a dental practice, and he came over there, he says, I came here especially because you are here. He says, then I'm leaving. He sold everything and he left. My daughter and her husband, he was specializing in Scotland and in Wales. And she said, they have come back to South Africa so that their kids could have an opa and oma. They especially came back from overseas so that they could have an opa and oma for their children. Now you're leaving. The one of the triplets said, I am fifth year medical student. How can you even consider leaving me here financially in this situation? And I said, you know what? When I was in the hospital, I gave you all to God. And he promised me, he would look after you. And he did exactly, God was true. Now, Christ in my heart. So many of us know all about Jesus. But do we know him intimately and personally? Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 10, in the Amplified, he says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in the spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Owens, how well did Paul know him? He was caught away into heaven, and he saw things and he heard things that he dare not share with us. Afterwards, he wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And still here at the end of his life, he says, that I may know him. We all need knowledge. This is Bible school, word school, sermons, seminars. They are so important. But this, just listen to this paraphrased version of Paul in Colossians 2 verse 3. He says, My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. It comes from the message. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Jesus Christ the Master. Now live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School is out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Many of us just want to know more instead of doing. Spiritual growth must not be equated with knowledge. You might know the Bible off by heart, but that doesn't mean that you're spiritually mature. Only when you apply the knowledge does growth take place. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age, how long you've been saved, but the sign of spiritual maturity is, whom do you resemble? When people come into your presence, do you remind them of Jesus? Colossians 1:27. Christ in my heart, my only hope of glory. What is this glory? It's not gold tinsels or falling from my hair or what else. The Greek word is doxa. It is the character and the personality and the nature of God that becomes visible in the life of a believer. Wat sigbaar word, sy karakter en sy persoonlikheid wat sigbaar word in die lewe van 'n gelowige. Owens, Jesus was both truly God and truly man. Therefore, the church is truly Christ and truly mankind. There is not another Christ in me and in you than He who dwells in heaven. He is Christ wrapped up in glory in heaven, but He is Christ wrapped up in this human flesh of mine here on earth. And it's crucial to the success of His mission is our receiving this life-changing truth by faith. And we must fight the temptation that wants to cause this truth to become merely part of my theology instead of a reality. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but it's Christ who lives in me. For it is right here, in carrying of the actual presence of Christ in me, that I fulfill God's purposes with my life. Maar is die Here nog steeds daar ver ergens nêrens is nie. Kan ek hy nie sy doel met my lewe bereik nie, want hy gaan deur my werk. Ek het gesterwe, ek leef nie meer nie. And we only have the spiritual power and the spiritual authority to the degree that the King abides in us. Galatians 5:22 says, but when the Holy Spirit comes into your lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And from that day, that experience, with my son, I started practicing the presence of Christ in me. Practicing the presence of Christ, it doesn't come automatically. I still make many mistakes. But this truth has changed my life completely. Watchman Nee wrote a thick book like this, The Spiritual Man. I can condense that whole book for you into one sentence. To live and walk in the Spirit is to be continually conscious of Christ in you. Om te wandel en te leef in die Gees is om gedurig deur bewus te wees van Christus in ons. Not conscious of Christ on Sunday mornings when the band starts playing Amazing Grace. That is religion. Jesus didn't come to give us religion. He came to give us an intimate, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. I take my wife. We've now been married 62 years. I will recognize her footsteps in the middle of the night. Her voice I'll recognize among a million other voices. Her laughter I'll recognize among a billion other laughters. How can I do that? Because I live intimately with her. And because I love her so much, I want to spend most of my time in her presence. Nou sê julle dames sê ja, nou versmoor ek haar. Beteken ek al gehoor dat sy neer hierdie ou liedjie. Net 'n tikkie vryheid, dis al wat ek vir. Dan weet ek nou dat ek 'n bietjie aflê, né? Maar ek wil al my tyd na teenwoordigheid spandeer. You cannot learn to know someone intimately by living outside his or her presence. Jy kan nie 'n intieme verhouding met die Here Jesus kweek deur buite sy teenwoordigheid te leef nie. Hy is hier binne in ons. Is hier waar hy leef. Kom ek gee 'n voorbeeld. Broer, kom hier gou, kom help my gou hier. Ek gaan nie seer maak nie, kom. Ketting my en hierdie broer vas aan mekaar vir 'n week lank. Waar ek gaan, daar gaan hy. Wat ek ook al doen, daar loop hy rond. As ek strand toe gaan en daal daai halfkaal breinlywe en ek kyk en sê my sê, "Broer, turn your eyes upon Jesus." Ek durf nie 'n vuil grap vertel nie. Ek durf nie skinder nie. Ek kan niks doen nie want ek is gedurig deur bewus van hierdie groot man hier langs my en hy kan my seermaak as ek gefout maak. Wat 'n week van heiligmaking sal ons nie geniet nie. Dis nie waar nie. Dankie broer, was 'n lekker week geweest. Hoor. Maar as ek nou gedurig deur bewus is van Christus in my, then I can enjoy a lifetime of holiness. Dan as ek nie meer elke tweede dag moet gaan belei, Heer, ek het weer dit gedoen nie. Ek is vry, want Christus het my gelei. Hy is hier in my. En ek en die lesie daai ding beoefen, vir ten minste 'n jaar en 'n half. Toen het min of meer onder die knie kry, bereik, toe vat die Heer ons na die volgende stap toe. Ek en Rieker Botha was saam gewees, daar na een van die stede toe, en is 'n nuwe kerkie wat hulle daar geopen het, hulle het twee selgroepe gehad. Nou die een selgroep was die Jappie crowd, soos julle, jy weet. En dan die ander selgroep was 25 oumas, hulle noem hulle babushkas, so tussen 65 en 85. Nou sit hulle daar, dit is verskriklik koud, allemaal die ou dik jasse en brille op en meeste van die arms is af en sit hulle so, hou hulle die bril vas. Nou wag hulle om te kyk, wat gaan die man van Afrika hulle nou vertel? Ek sê vir die kerk, wat gaan ek met hulle deel? Alles wat ek vir hulle gaan sê, gaan ver oor hulle kop wees. Weinig van hulle kon lees of skryf. Hulle het eers een Bybel gehad nie. Want drie rand was te duur geweest. Al wat hulle geweet het is, Jesus red. En vir daai bietjie waarheid, vergelijk ons waarheid te bie met hulle, al vir daai bietjie waarheid, was hulle bereid om geleerdheid ontzet te word. Hulle was bereid om tronke te gaan deurbring. Hulle kinders het van hulle weggeneem. Sommige van hulle Siberië toe in die strafkamp toe weggevoer. Net omdat hulle getuig het, Jesus red. Toe begon te getuig. Jy nou dan die staande opsie sê, ek het verlede week geen kos gehad nie, vir my huis nie. Toe stuur die Here vir ons een koolkop, ons het sop gehad vir die hele week. Sê, hy is die God wat voorsien in al my behoeftes. Ek sê, Here, ek het 2 vrieskaste by die huis. Ek het my eie huis, ek het die bankrekening, ek het 2 motors. Nog nie 1 keer het ek nodig gehad om my te bekommer, hoe gaan ek my kinders morgenoggend voer. Alles wat ek het, het ek geleer om met my eie hande te verwerf. God het nog nie vir my voorsien. Ek ken hom nie as jou wat Jaira nie. Toe God tegen iemand anders het, sê die Heer het my genees van borskanker. Ander ene van maniese depressie, so gaan die getuienis uit. Ek sê, Heer, ek sal teker. As ek pijn het of siek is, dan greep ek die pil. As die pil nie werk, dan gaan ek die dokter en sê, Heer, sê in die handen van die dokter. Ek het niks in dokters nie hoor. Sê in die handen van die dokter. Maar God het my nog nooit genees nie. Ek ken hom nie. As die God wat genees nie. Hierdie mense met die bietjie ken as Jesus red, ken hom baie beter as wat ek hom ken. Die Here het vir my in Telestie op 'n ontdekkingsreis geneem. En ons het God leer ken op 'n wyse wat nooit moontlik sou gewees het. As ons nie gesê het, ja Here, ons sal gaan nie. Now why am I? My question to you is to all of us. How might we, who have seen, heard, and experienced the love of Jesus, how can we improve to better fulfill Jesus' desire, namely to be his witnesses at work, at home, in our community, in the world? Broers en susters, ons getuienis is so krachtig. So krachtig, want het is iets wat God vir jouself gedoen het. Maar hoe kan ons daarop verbeter? Want ons getuig so min. And I pray that as the Holy Spirit works through God's word, every time we gather for Bible study, prayer meeting, or a church service, that you might be strengthened, equipped, and enlivened to be his witnesses. How else can we be motivated to respond to God's love by echoing the attitude of Paul in Acts 20, verse 22 to 24? If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What task? The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Almal van ons het dieselfde commission ontvang. Dit is net sekere mense nie. One of my favorite scriptures is Galatians 1:15, verse 16. But when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, some translations say to me, the King James and all those says, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, why? So that I may preach the good news to the heathens. Nie om sê, oh, ek lyk soos Jesus nie. To preach the good news to the heathens. Unless we understand the purpose of the church, we will never win the battle for the souls of men. Recently, they made a survey in the US among the Christians. And they asked them the question, why do you belong to a church? You know what the answer was? To have my needs met. Om aan my behoeftes te voorsien. Dis waarom ek 'n kerklidmaat is. En die tweede rede is, wie anders gaan my begrawe? And so often we've asked the question, how do you live and operate in Ukraine? Actually, what they're meaning is, do you fast and pray most of the time, preach every day on the street corners, or how many souls have you won this time for Christ? Or believe it or not, how many miracles did you perform or witness this time? So for the last one, I usually say, there's a photograph of my wife performing her first miracle. She's walking on water when she was walking across a frozen lake. Our answer is plain. I do not and cannot save people. God does it. It's His prerogative. I can only testify about the love and the saving grace because of what Jesus suffered on the cross and what He has done personally in my life. Our answer is plain. We live and work there as we live and work at home in South Africa. There is no special or greater glory for leading a Russian or a Ukrainian to Christ than leading a homeless man in the streets of South Africa. God is nie aannemer van persoon nie. Elke siel is kosbaar. We sow the seeds, the word of God, trusting that someone else will water these seeds and God will bring growth. Sometimes we are blessed to be able to reap a harvest of souls where we did not even plant a seed. Ek dink aan Frans Hoek. Toe ons in Frans Hoek gekom het, was hulle so ryp. Was daar 'n plaaslike herlewing. Mense het gekom van Wellington, van Paarl, van Stellenbosch, van oral oor na hierdie ou klein kerkie toe. En die Here het daar was 'n herlewing. Meeste van hulle almal is gedoop in die Heilige Gees. Die Here het so wonderlik gewerk. En toe ons in Oekraïne kom, toe pluk ons hulle soos ryp appels van die bome af. Ons het niks te doen gehad nie. Ek wil hierdie storie vertel. Wat ons gedoen het uiteindelik, ons eers saam met die Amerikaners gewerk. And eventually what we did, we saw the poverty. So we decided to partner a South African church to one of these Russian-Ukrainian churches to help them. And we asked them to prepare what they have to prepare when they come over to teach them and send them $100 a month, which was 350 rand a month in those days. And eventually we had 70 churches here connected to 85 churches in Ukraine, 25 in Russia, and 5 in Armenia. But there was one Domini here up in the north. He refused to come and visit. All this, we even have 25 groups visiting us per year, but he wouldn't come. He said, ach nee man, wat gaan ek hier leer? Ek stel nie belang, ek stuur vir genoeg geld, is alright. So eventually after 10 years, he came. But when he stepped off the plane into the hall there, he didn't even greet me. He says, Johnny, wat gaan ek hierdie mense leer? Ek mors my Here se tyd, ek mors my tyd, ek mors hulle tyd. Ek sê vir hom, luister my broer. As jy nie weet wat om te preek nie, vertel hulle stories oor die kreerwoudtuin. Oor ons snaakse diere maniere en al die goed. Ek sê, doen enigiets. Ek sê, maar moenie vergeet nie, aan die einde van jou boodskap, vra vir hulle wie wil Jesus Christus aanneem as verlosser. Saam sy talk sit my train, ek stuur hom toe daar na die weste toe. For 2 weeks he was there. Then we came back, I met him at the station. When this guy stepped off the train, it looked like he was walking on a cloud. He had a halo around his head. Ek sê, from broer, wat het gebeur? Hy sê, Jesus my nie geloof nie. Hy het gedoen soos hy gesê het. En sondagmorgen, toe leg ek 67 mense na die Here toe. Hy sê, ek het nog nooit in my vorige bediening iemand na die Here toe gelei nie. Sy lewe is verander. 6 maanden terug by die gemeente toe bedank hy en hy sê nie veel toe. The gospel leads to fulfillment. And the only true fulfillment in the life of a believer is when you lead a lost soul to Christ. Die evangelie lei tot vervulling. En die enigste werklike vervulling in die lewe van 'n wedergebore mens is wanneer jy 'n verlore siel na God toe lei. Die engele rejoice. Die hemel rejoice. Maar wie wat gebeur by ons? As daar een of twee mense opstaan uit die rolstoel, een word uit dood uit opgerig in Amerika, dan haal ons vlugte uit en ons vlieg om te gaan kyk wat daar gebeur. Maar dit is 'n oorverdovende stilte as iemand tot bekering kom. En dis die grootste wonderwerk op aarde, as 'n siel gered word. Maar nee, wat, hy het dit nodig. Ja, hy het dit nodig. Ek hoop hy behandel sy vrou nou beter. Dis is ons komment. The saddest verse in the Bible, for me, is Revelation 20 verse 15. And whosoever was not found in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Vir ewig. Verby. Wat ek nou by teenoor jou wil getuig, asseblief, moenie dink ek, don't think I'm boasting about how saintly we are. Because I know the few of you who know us better, Santi, ay, sorry man, ek jou nie herken nie. Santi ken my ook beter. Julle ken my hart. John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light unto men. Ons sit daar by Boryspil, by die lughawe, by die Kiev, op pad om terug te vlieg Suid-Afrika toe. Ek en Delisie sit 'n kopie koffie drink in die restaurantje. Daar sit 'n rus, die einde op by ander tafel. Hy eet sy toebroodjie en drink op. Hy staan op, kom hier na ons toe. Hy sê, wat 'n prachtige paar julle is julle nie. Hy sê, julle was so 'n wonderlike voorbeeld vir my. En dit is my so baie beteken. Ek kan nie onthou dat ek ooit eers die lesie sy hand vasgehou het nie. Ek het nie eens vir 'n soentjie gegooi, of iets van haar. Niks. Maar iets het hom getref. Op die trein na Odessa toe. Net toe ons die stasie nou uittrek, as hier een groep mans kon staan, is in die gangetje en kyk maar die mense wat allemaal waai en soan. En die een van hulle stap saam met ons in die kompartement in. En hy sê, hulle is professionele kanoe vaders en hulle kom vir 'n wedloop in Odessa. En hy is weer uit. Rukkie later, klop aan die deur. Hier kom hy en sy 5 ouens. Hulle kom sit. Hy sê, may we please come and sit here. I told them there's such a wonderful peaceful atmosphere here in your compartment. Die laaste ene. Ons is by die pad, ons moes ergens heen gaan, maar ons kon nie kaartje op die trein kry nie, toen hadden op die derde klas. Nou, dis die platskaart. Die platskaart het geen deure nie, en dis net drie kwart mure. Nou, hulle vol, dis vroeg in die morgen. En hulle met hulle voete met sokkies, hulle durf nie sokkies afhaal nie, want die goed sal recht opstaan. En dit is vreselijk, en hier in die gangetje slaap die mense ook en bank op elkaar en so, en is ons ingedruk hier, so jy sien. Maar hier is nou paar rijk Russische dames, en die rest van die trein is vol van gypsies. Nou die gypsies, allemaal as hulle die gypsies sien, dan hou jy in jou handsak vast, en jy hoef alles vast, want jy weet nie wat met jou goed gaan gebeur nie. En hier sê vir een van die rijk dames, sê vir ons tolk, wees hulle, sê nie, hulle is sendeling van Afrika. Sê, ons soek hulle hier nie. Sê vir hulle moet wei. Terug na hulle van waar hulle kom. Dis toe vreselike vijandige gesinde atmosfeer. Ons bleef maar doe het stil. Maar dat ek net een foto's gehad van die drilling, wat ek nog nie vir my tolk gewys het nie. En nog so bier van ons huis. En ons kyk hulle. En die gypsies is mal, hulle storm toe af, jongen, daar gaat my voet, is die gang af, ek dacht, ach heren, daar saai ek hulle maar gaan. En toe begin ons gedeliesie vertel, hoe die heren haar gehelp het, want het is van natuurlijke geboorte gewees, was nie keizers nie, nie. Hoe die heren haar gehelp het en deur gedraad. En ook met die kinders, ek gaan nou dit gedeliesie vir hom so kort getuigenis te gee, oor ons kinders. Dis ek oor die tijd, broer. Dat is een goede tijd. Oké, ik zal ook klaarmaken. Wat gaan jullie doen? Jullie hebben toch niks anders te doen, dat is niet waar, nee. En ze vertellen net van, begin tegen vrijeren. Toen ons bij ons stage komt waar ons moet afklim, vlieg hier weer eens op. Onthou net, als jullie ooit naar mijn stage komen, hier kom blijven bij mij. Die anders zeggen, nee, hier is mijn kaartje, hier kom blijven bij mij. Niet bij haar, niet. En dit is het wonderlijk. Nu, my broer en sister, what I want to tell you is, do you realize that we who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit create sacred space wherever we go. Wherever we are, there is Jesus. Amen. Now, many of us have asked ourselves, what is my bediening? What is my ministry? Dan in ons koppe kry ons onmiddellik iemand wat staan en preek. True ministry is not standing on a stage and behind a pulpit and performing, but true ministry is life flowing out of you and me because of an intimate relationship with the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ. In him was life, with a capital L, and this life is the light unto men, and we have that light in us. Kan ek hierdie eerste keer nog vir jou lees? Romeine 8, message. So don't you see, we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent. There's nothing in it for us all. The best thing we can do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you have received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God every morning with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" Hallelujah. Evangelism and missions is not just another program of the church, but it is the spiritual barometer of every true believer's heart. The strength and efficacy of any church can only be measured or tested by how effective and involved the church is in prayer, privately and corporately, and how involved the church is in evangelism and missions. And my brothers and sisters, don't go to church. Be the church. En ek gaan hiermee afsluit. Ek weet miskien bietjie negatief, maar ek gaan dit hiermee afsluit. Jy weet, words are symbols of ideas. And most of the times, the wrong words create the wrong ideas. Wie van julle het vanmorgen gesê, ons moet nou kerk toe gaan? Toen moet ach, julle jok nou, ek weet nou, nou kan jok julle allemaal. Wie het sê, ons moet kerk toe gaan? Jy kan ons nie kerk toe gaan nie, jy is dan die kerk. Die kerk moet nou na die gebouw toe gaan. En my broer is so mooi recht gepraat, jy is so al geprofiteer my boodskap vanmorgen. Die sê het, good morning church. Dit is die kerk. Maar dan voeg sommige by, welcome in the house of the Lord. Ek weet wat julle verstaan, maar wat verstaan julle kinders? Hierdie is die huis van die Here. Ons gaan hom net toesluit, dan gaan ons weer huis toe, kan ons doen wat ons wil. Maar dit is nou, dit klink geestelik, maar dit is nou charismatic jargon, wat ons om daar praat. Now this is the mission of the church. If the church does not fulfill God's purpose for the world, Jesus' death becomes worthless and God's redemption plan useless. God through Jesus Christ trusts the church enough to proclaim and demonstrate his power to all mankind. Dit is ek sien so baie jong mense. Wie gaan dit kom gooi, moenie jou kop skud, kom hier so. Moet nou nie wees, vir hulle wees dat die onderwerping werk nie. Nee, met ons kinders. Vertel jy net hoe jylle is ons.
Wie is onder 20? Steek op jylle hande. Ah, dit is fantasties. Nee, wat ek net vir jylle wil sê vir jylle jong mense, is dat toe ons die drieling 14 jaar oud was en die boetie 2 jaar ouer 16 jaar oud was, het ons was baie streng op hulle gewees. En wat ek julle wil bemoedig, is dat die Here vat baie keer 'n tiener, 'n jong mense kant teen die ouers. En dis wat ek nou vir julle wil vertel. Een oggend toe bid ek en die kinders, die drieling wou gaan kamp. En toe sê ek, nee, daar is die geld nie. Julle verstaan het as jou pa of jou ma sê nou wees. Maar as die Here aan jou kant is. En daai oggend sê die Here vir my dat ek het verkeerd gepraat met die drieling. As hulle huis toe kom, een hier moet ek hulle om vergifnis vra. En ek moet vir hulle my kosgeld gee. En vir hulle sê julle gaan kamp toe. En nou kom die drieling by die huis 14 jaar oud. Dis warm. En ek sê vir hulle, hoorie, kan ek met julle praat? Ag ma, wat is dit nou weer? Die een sê, is dit serieus? Die ander een sê, hou dit kort. Die ander een sê, ek is honger. Nee? Hulle is nou glad nie ingetune vir my belydenis nie. Wat ek vir julle wil sê, julle jong mense, dat jou ouers is baie keer opreg verkeerd. Hoor julle? Hulle bedoel het opreg, maar hulle is verkeerd. En toe vraag hulle om vergifnis. En weet julle, daar begin ek te huil, want die Heer het my gewys dat ek het nie respekte gehad vir my kinders nie, en ek was net 'n big boss gewees. En Marinus, die kleinste van die drieling fisies, hy sê, mama, kan ek vir jou bid? En ek sê, ja, en hy sit sy arm om my, en hy sê, Heer, dankie, thank you, that from this day on, my mother is not my mother anymore, but my sister in the Lord. En toe hy sê, ek is sy sister in the Lord, die eerste ding wat ek dink, ek kan hulle nie meer rondshand nie. Nou kan ek hulle nie meer rondshand nie, want ons is nou gelijk. En 'n ander mooie story, dit is nou alles vir die tieners, die jong mense, nee? Ons seun, toe hy 16 jaar oud is, oudste seun, toe kom hy na sy pa, toe hy sê, pa, ek wil 'n motorfiets hê. Jy het nie die eers gesê, kom ons bid of kom ons praat nie. Hy het net gesê, nee. Nou kon my seun na my toe, want jy weet, die seuns kom nou altyd na die ma toe, nou hulle die ma opmaak teen die pa, en ek sê, Ek sê, gaan vra vir die Here 'n woord, 'n skrif. As jy motorfiets wil hê, gaan vra vir die Here 'n woord. Hy kom die volgende dag met die woord. Dit is die woord in die Ou Testament. And they mounted their royal horses and drove off at top speed. hoor hy so, en ek sê vir hom, Tommy, gaan gee die skrif vir papa. Dit was nie 5 dae daarna nie, toe bel Johnny sy vriend om van Nysna. Hy is 'n pastor daar gewees in die gemeente, en hy sê, Johnny, wie ek droom vannacht is naakse dit. Ek droom, ek moet my seun se motorfiets vir Tommy gee. En hier is Tommy en sy pa by die bakkie, en hulle gaan haal toe die motorfiets. So ek wil julle net bemoedig, dat as julle voel julle kom partykeer te staan, kyk mens, moet jou ouers respekteer, want hulle bid vir julle, hulle is trots op julle, en dit is 'n fantastiese ding as 'n mens se ouers Christen is. Jou ouers nie Christen is nie, en jy is, is dit amper nog beter. Want dan sê die Here gaan hy hulle red, as jy gaan skyn vir Jesus. Maar ek wil net vir julle bemoedig, ja, en die ander boetie wat 2 jaar ouder was as die drieling, was verskriklik rebels, Ignatius. Hy het lelike goeders begin doen op 16, en toe wys die Here vir ons dat, toe die drieling gebore was, was hy net 2, en ons het hom heeltemal afgeskeep, heeltemal. Ons het nooit foto's van hom geneem nie, as die mense kom kuier, wil hulle net die drieling sien. Toe wys die Here vir ons, hy lei aan verwerping, en ons moet vir hom om vergifnis vra. En een aand, 11:00, kom hy weer van die donkerte af waar hy was, ons weet nie. En hy kom val so tussen ons, hy sê, hoe was julle dag? Toe sê ons vir my, Ignatius, ons vanavond vir jou vergifnis vra, het jou niet gepraat, dat ons jou verwerp het, toe jy klein was, jou hele lewe. Hy sê, ach nee, maar ek kan nie onthou nie, ons sê, maar jy moet ons vergewe. Hy spreek vergifnis, hy, dit was 3 minute gesprek. Van die volgende dag, het sy lewe so omgeswaai. Die rebelsheid het verdwijn. So ek wil net vir die jong mense sê, God is on your side. Julle moet net betere ouer raaide ouer net so tjoef tjars.
Vader, baie dankie vir hierdie paar oomblikke wat ons ons lewe kon deel met ons broers en susters. Jy het mekaar beter kan leer ken en verstaan. Dankie vir die werk wat jy in elkeen van ons doen. Heere, om meer en meer soos Christus Jesus te word. Heere, is die verlange van ons hart. Ons lees die tekens van die tye. Ons weet die koms is nabij. Heere, dat ons so aan die brand sal wees, wanneer die uur van beproeving vir ons kom, ons sal vaststaan. Ons loof u, ons eer u vir wie u is. Koning van alle konings in Jesus naam. Amen.